Time then for another edition of the Racing Post weekly magazine show. What a shout! With me, Dave Orton, JJ Hamblett in the seat as well. All the big calls and the hot topics of the week. 1 million viewers for the first four shows. Thank you ever so much, those of you that have tuned in thus far. Most of them Union J fans, I imagine.
I hope racing fans as well, but yeah. Be nice to see that. But we've got a cracking show today, Dave. Not only have we got the Racing Post best tipster, Paul Keighley, we also have a man who I'm so excited to meet, who was the most successful amateur rider in history, riding the likes of Duvan, Forheen, Sharjah and Bells Hill. He's now assistant trainer to the legend himself, Willie Mullins. We have Patrick Mullins in the building. Patrick, how are you doing, buddy?
Great, JJ. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming.
Still an amateur rider, we should say that.
Still an amateur rider. Still going.
Yeah. No plans to ask Willie just yet.
Not yet. No, enjoying the easier job, I think, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. The heir to the throne, anyway. Okay, let's have a look at what we've got coming up on the show then. All the hot topics, absolutely. We'll be talking about the Dublin Racing Festival, getting all the news and the Mullins Gap, Cheltenham clues as well. Big calls every week. We've got the My Racing Double. Don't forget about that. See how it goes on. And of course, the Naps. Well, plenty to talk about there.
So we're going to start off with the hot topic and the Dublin Racing Festival. And obviously, we want to get all the news from the Mullins camp and Ken Boy going for the Irish Cold Cup.
Yeah, came out of Christmas fine. Looked like he needed the run. A lot of our horses this year have needed their first run, more so this year than any other year. Just we've had various little difficulties at home that meant we haven't really been able to get the hard work that we usually would into a lot of them. So you saw the likes of Ken Boy, the likes of Shaq and Persuas, come on for their first run. The likes of Asterion for Lange appreciated, improved considerably from the first run to their second run. So I thought Ken Boy showed a lot. I thought it was a strange race. I thought it was unusual how much rope Monalee and Ken Boy were given up front. I think you could probably mark up Delta Work and Presenting Percy coming from so far back. But Ken Boy, I think, will improve considerably from the race. He didn't go to the Irish Gold Cup last year, but he'd had a prep run in Clonmel, which he missed this year. And I think the plan at the moment would be to go to Leopardstown and then on to Cheltenham again.
He can jump better, can't he? Because his jumping wasn't foot perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I just thought, you know, sometimes he's really good. When he won last year, he was fantastic.
People remember the Gold Cup, but, of course.
Well, that wasn't his fault, to be honest. Getting unseated because he just got crowded out and unsighted. But I did think his jumping was, you know, fairly alarming at times, wasn't that good. And you'd mark him up for only being beaten 3.5 lengths and not jumping that well.
When horses have been off that long, look at Altior, for example, it was always going to be tough for him, wasn't he? Grade one, first time out. And like you say, yours have been coming on for it. Let's talk about Shacken then. Poursuit, who to me three out when he winged that fence, didn't he? And that took him to the front perhaps a bit too soon?
Yeah, I mean, Shacken was interesting. Again, I thought he needed the run. You're looking back at his Punchdown run and you're wondering, was it too good to be true? You know, was he just a fresh horse coming in against, you know, the Deffy and Duke Deneve and Voiderev, who'd had a hard, long season? Possibly we got our tactics a little wrong. You know, I think we lined up our three horses, Cadmium, Great Field and Shacken, and they raced down the straight the first time, all probably doing a bit much, whereas Rachel Blackmore has tucked in behind us, probably in the position A on the Plutard. She's got the ideal run around. We dropped Shacken in when he won in Punchestown.
Plutard had had a run as well, of course.
He'd had a run as well, which is always a big advantage. His jumping was extraordinary because that's when his fourth run over fences, but his third run over Irish fences. So, like you said, that jump at the third last, I actually put my binoculars down and one of my friends was watching. I said, this horse is a different class. But he's got tired down to the last. So he does have to, you know, he does have to come back out and show now that he can improve from it. But I'd be very confident that he'll improve considerably for the run.
You're mad keen on him.
Oh, I'm a big fan of him. I mean, you will say that if you go back and watch the Punchdown race, the Deffy de Soy made a couple of mistakes, but he still arrived going really well at the last. And the Irish commentator says, and Deffy de Soy, he's the one with the turn of foot, and then Shacken went away from him. Like, you know what I mean? So I think he's a very, very good horse, and you've got to give him one more chance.
And the vibes are extremely strong, and that's just been backed up by Patrick there as well. Yeah. Well, let's talk about a horse that has had a couple of runs and hasn't maybe got the excuse now, Redemption Mission for Classical Dream. Stayers Hurdle, interesting entry.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like Willie to keep all options open. But it's been very disappointing. He probably wants proper soft ground. If you look back at his maiden hurdle win and his grade one win as a novice in Leopardstown, which would have been on good ground, he'd beaten a horse in his maiden hurdle, still a maiden, and he'd beat Aram on a short head, having been headed. So his form maybe hasn't, you know, his supreme form was on proper soft ground. That was his best form. In the Morgiana, the jump he put in at the first hurdle, I was behind him on Sharjah, and he took off with four strides away. I thought we were all dead, to be honest, and which is why I wasn't tracking him in Leopardstown, and he went and didn't get away with it in Leopardstown, made a horrendous mistake. He's always got very wound up at the start. I mean, he nearly unseated Ruby going down the start in the Supreme Novices.
And he took such a keen hold in that race, didn't
he? He's not that he's that keen, to be honest. Once he's going, he carries his head very low, but he's not as keen going as he looks. It's just that he gets very wound up. Like, even in the parade ring at Leopardstown at Christmas there, himself and Timo Schwarr are both throwing a lot of shapes beforehand, which is not ideal. Now, we took him to Punchestown the other day, brought him to races, let him walk around during the races just to get him to, you know, go to races, not have a race, try to get him to relax, to calm down. So, you know, we might do that a few times. That might help him. But I think it's just, you know, we could put a hood on him. We put a hood on him at home, but he's not really that bad at home. You know, he does do a bit of jumping around. I'm not sure a hood would help. I think it's more a maturity thing. If the ground come up soft in Cheltenham for the champion hurdle, I think he has to be a huge player again. On good ground, he might just not be quick enough for 2 miles.
Paul, Classical Dream or Sharjah at the moment?
I really like Classical Dream at the start of the season, and, you know, it's all gone wrong. I think he probably wants a fence more than anything else.
You've been banging on about forgiving horses.
I've always liked Sharjah as well, though. I mean, obviously, I was backing him for the Patrick Supreme Horse, Novices and all that. Will you ride in the champion hurdle?
Will I ride him? Yeah. I hope so. I think he'll probably go to Leopardstown first. Mm. And
I mean, he's one of those horses, he's a bit unfortunate in these days that they don't allow decent ground at Cheltenham anymore, because I think he'd definitely win it.
It's going to be. It's
but, you know, it all depends. But if we get dry and it's only good to soft, then he's got a massive chance.
Just very quickly, let's have a look at the Farmer Novice Hurdle. It's a race you usually win. Talking about Classical Dream, he took it last year. Some of your top notches have gone there. Any horses that we should be thinking about for that? Asterion's in there. Janadil's a horse I know you think might have gone under the radar slightly.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these horses are entering the 2-6. Like I said, Woody likes to keep his options open. Asterion Falange is an example of a horse that improved considerably from his first run to his second run.
Massive.
I think a lot of ours are going to do that this year. His jumping was very good. It was a little to his right, so that would be a slight concern back at Leopardstown. And we would see him as a stayer, so it's possible he might go for a 2-6 race instead. His jumping probably makes him a quicker horse than he is, because he's quite sharp. Janadil is a horse who only does enough. You know, he's won two hot handicaps as a novice. We were very disappointed one day he got beaten in Tramore. We couldn't believe it. It turned out to be Notebook who beat him. He's a horse who always has more in the tank. We don't know how good he is because he doesn't really show it, which is probably why he was able to win two big handicaps. Unaccepted as a horse, I wouldn't rule out. I think he wants probably 2 miles on good ground.
So impressive first time out.
Yes, hugely impressive. And like I said, a lot of hours, I think, should have
been. It wasn't just the trip then at Limerick. It was the bad, bad ground.
Limerick at Christmas is heavy ground. I mean, there's heavy ground and there's Limerick at Christmas heavy ground.
Yeah, okay.
And 2.5 miles. Yeah, bottomless. But 2.5 miles, I was trying to ride him for speed. I wasn't letting him jump. And if you see, there's two jumps. The first one on the back bow times when I've given him a squeeze and he's made two lengths. I think on 2 miles on good ground, you could use his jumping. And I think that would let him fulfill his potential. But I think back to 2 miles, good ground, I wouldn't forget about him. Lord Royal is another horse I like a lot. I wouldn't think he'd run the 2 mile. I would have seen him as more of a 2-6 horse. He's a huge cruising speed. He's very tall. Reminds me a little bit of Duvan, the way in looks. Not saying he's going to be that ability.
Highly regarded, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, he's a very tall, leggy, very French-looking horse. I can't wait to see him over fences and over a trip.
That's gone way over our 2 minutes.
Can we go one more?
Yeah, of course. No one's going to mind, are they? Come on.
I've got to ask you about Bapalm. See, he's in the Irish Arkle.
You've got something crossed under there.
He spent most of last season over 3 mile. People keep telling me he's too slow for the Arkle. What do you think?
His jumping, like I've been saying with the steering for launch, his jumping makes him quick enough. And also, he has good form as over 2 miles as a hurdler
yeah,
as well.
Exactly, yeah, great one, man.
Probably a little like foot pad he got put out because he was just below the top at 2 miles. He got put out to 2.5, 2.6, 3 miles. Very similar to footpad. From day one when we schooled him at home, Willie was like, this horse, he's so good to jump. Rachel Blackmore actually schooled him the first day, and Willie can sometimes have a different view on what's good from a jockey's point of view. Willie thinks, you know, very fast and low is very good. When you're a jockey, you'd like to be a bit more careful. But again, there's another horse who improved considerably from his first run to his second run. Ruby's saying all along, he says, this is their Arkle horse because of the way he jumps. So, yeah.
Very good. I might have to top up again.
You've had an absolute touch. They are your Dublin Festival clues.
So, guys, now we're going to look at the Cheltenham Festival and the national clues from the weekend. Obviously, Froden won the Silviniaco.
Boom.
Won well enough. Do you think he'll go for Ryanair, or do you think the Gold Cup might be a little bit too far?
Paul Nicholls has mentioned the Gold Cup before because the owner might want to go for it, but he has to go to Ryanair.
We've been here before.
He doesn't stay. There's no way he stays 3 miles, 2.5.
He's obviously, 3 miles,
he's obviously a fantastic jumper. The Ryanair will be a better race this year, for sure. But the Ryanair's right race for him.
It was a mighty performance, wasn't it?
I doubt it was.
I thought he broke top notch.
He might have done. I doubt you can actually rate the form really highly. Keeper Hill was only getting £6. He's rated a long way behind him. You certainly wouldn't be the trainer of Keeper Hill and go up £8 for finishing second for sure. So
Froden, we've been here before. Looks like Ryanair.
Yeah.
Carefully selected, carefully answered, I imagine this one will be. RSA, four-miler, we'll get that one straight out of the way.
Well, look, I'd love to ride him in the four-miler. He's a horse who settles very well. He has Cheltenham form.
Cheltenham bumper form, yeah.
Exactly. He's not slow. That's the one thing I would say. He looks slow. He's old-fashioned. He looks like some sort of war horse. But if you see the mistake he made at the second last in Fairyhouse, to be able to get back in front by the time of the last, he has a turn of foot. I would have liked to see him get more experience. That four-mile chase is a bit like a handicap. It's a big field. It's not like the other novices with small fields. He has to qualify. Really, the only real option for him, he could go to Naces a bit soon. He's in the Dublin Racing Festival. He runs there. He can't really go to
because he's got to be over a certain distance. He's got to be
3 miles.
Yeah.
So the 10 up, which is a 3 mile novice chase in Navan, it's not usually where we go. 3 miles, heavy ground, close enough to Cheltenham, a bit over 3 weeks. Not ideal. It might have to be done though. But he is still in the Dublin Race Festival, so I'm going to have to talk nicely to Willie.
Alaho, would he be aiming towards that race? The Sheevy horse, is that how we say it? Alaho?
Alaho is in the, what used to be Dr. PJ Moriarty. Again, he'll improve hugely for his run at Christmas.
He wants a trip, surely, doesn't he?
Well, is he a bit like Black Hercules? You know, is he a good jumping, keen running horse? So, you know, is he more of a 2.5? Is he a marsh horse? That's kind of, to me, he reminds me a lot of Black Hercules.
One for you here, Kills. Moving on from the... I think everyone's been looking forward to this in the studio. Burrow's Edge Gold Cup. Lanzarote. We'll just have a quick word about that. What do we make of it, Paul?
I nearly broke the swearing rule there. I backed and napped a bestie man who was 3 legs clear jump in the last and unseated.
Did you get it in the bag?
I wouldn't have it that he didn't have it in the bag at the track at the time, but I watched it again a couple of times on Sunday and Burrow's Edge really was finished.
He trapped.
I think it would be close. It's a short run in at Kempton.
Cole Cup.
Horses have gone from the Lanzarote to the Cole Cup.
Top of the game. Was just beaten in it.
William Henry as well. Got a shout. I'd imagine there's better handicapped horses. I don't think it was a very good Lanzarote. That's what I'd say.
Fair enough. A quick word on Mossy Fenn. JJ winning that for you. Gone from sublime to ridiculous. But
I'll back that.
Did you back it? There we go. Okay, he's come back as well. And we'll get on to one which you nearly napped as well next week later on. Mossy Fenn, big raw horse. Is he ready for Cheltenham? That would be my question.
I wouldn't be running him in the 3 miler. I don't think he'll actually be quick enough for the Ballymore either.
He looks a chaser, doesn't he? He's a big raw baby. He needs time.
But he'll end up going there, won't he, obviously.
Okay, festival clues.
So, Pat, we've got a couple of questions on the social media. First of all, we've got Tara Kerwin on Twitter asks, is Micromanage on course for the Triumph Hurdle?
No. He got a little setback there before Christmas, and we've decided we're going to concentrate on a flat campaign. He looks like he could be a very good flat horse, possibly a Melbourne Cup horse.
Fascinating.
And obviously got Rayapour, ex-French flat horse.
Yeah, Rayapour is a horse we like a lot. We've entered him, given him a speculative entry in the Grade 1 at Leopardstown. He may not go there. We might keep him for next year. We're keeping a lot of our juveniles for next year. We'll see how he's working near the time. But he's a horse we like.
Perfect. The second question we've got is from Shane Briggs on YouTube, and many other have asked, where is Lamarisk?
She's in training. Got a little setback there before Christmas. She was entered, pulled a muscle at the back offer. She's back going now. If everything goes right, she could get a run before Cheltenham and go to the Mayor's Novice. But she's definitely a mare to keep on the right side of.
Amakai has got the right colours, though, hasn't she? Classical Dream. So she's in all the big races.
Yeah, we like her a lot. She's done some very nice work now.
Well, that's very interesting indeed. Social questions. Right then, time to look at your Saturday races. The first one being the 205 at Haydock, the Rossington Main Skybet Supreme Novice Trial. Just The Four Runners. Kills, let's talk about this first and foremost. What is the ground going to be like up at Haydock?
Oh, you can't. The ground at Haydock's going to be like it always is in the winter. It's going to be bottomless. It's going to be really, worse than Ascot? Really sticky. I don't know. Ascot had 11 mil overnight, so they're now heavy all over. And the going stick on the hurdle course at Ascot is 1.4 lower than it was when they were inspecting the previous time they raced. So
wow.
We're talking very, very deep ground wherever we go. No surprise that the fields are cut up.
Yeah, just dating the big handicap tomorrow at Ascot as well. Okay, let's have a look at the field. The Banner King Rebel. Snookered, we expect, will be the outsider. Edward Stone, probably just about going to go off Fav. And Stolen Silver as well, who'd be bidding to give Chantry House a bit of a boost in this as well. Mr. Fisher won it last year. No Henderson representative. He was going to run in the chase this time round as well. Shows you what sort of ground it's going to be. Tactical?
Yeah, very. And a worry for Edward Stone, who's likely to be favourite, because he's very keen.
He's got some good form,
and, and he's got some speed about him. Obviously, beat Filler on the roof at Wincanton and then came out again and won at Aintree. Now he's going to Haydock in an absolute bog. Not the sort of ground he's been on before, certainly not this season. I think he was second or third on soft ground last season in a bumper. But you know, he's going to be keen in really sticky ground. So I would fancy, I would favour. He's better to stay. But if he just burn up his energy, he might do, you know. And Banner King Rebel's form's not far off him. He'd be unbeaten if he hadn't fallen at the last at Weatherby.
Yeah.
He had that race in command and he's come out and won well since. So, you know, it's not the sort of race I'm going to bet in, but I would favour the Banner King Rebel.
He might just go off in front, wouldn't he? When you're looking at these four-runner races, Patrick, you know, these graded races, are you happy to be on a front-runner?
If you can get an easy lead, a front, it's the best place to be, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it depends what you're up against.
Have you had a look at the race?
I've just seen the two in it. We'll be watching it very, which, you know, be interested to see. But how relevant is it going to be to Cheltenham with really heavy ground? I don't know. But,
last year it was very relevant, wasn't it? Bright Approach, of course, went round, you know, Stormer in, you know, in the Ballymore, having been beaten. So, okay, tricky race.
So, guys, the next race we're going to look at is the 240 Haydock, the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase. What's everyone's thoughts on this one?
Well, there's only 10 runners. You'd think it'd be easy, but I don't think you can rule out a single one. And what I like is the complete outsider. It's very, very unusual for you to get the youngest, least exposed horse in the race to be the outsider in a big handicap chase. And that's the case with Red Indian, trained by Kelly Morgan, was trained by Ben Paul in over hurdles. He finished sixth in the Coral Cup. He finished third in the Lanzarote over hurdles. He won 15 lengths on his debut over fences last season.
Then he was on the periphery, wasn't he, running in?
Well, then he ran fourth in the Corto start, led for a long way. But he lost the plot afterwards. But if you look at his form, he has run a career best first time out every time he's run. In fact, he's run a career best every time he's had a break of 8 weeks or more. So he's coming back fresh. His form figures are 1-2-1 on heavy ground. So he got that in his favour too. She's booked Ben Jones, who takes £5 off.
Very handy.
You know, he's the best. He's certainly the best claimer over here. And told us, you know, it's a 14-1 shot. So I just think it's the one that's most wrongly priced.
Expect that to go a bit shorter then. Patrick, have you had a look?
Completely agree, Paul.
Whoa, here we go. We've got a go. First time for everything.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Acting Last, we think, will probably be the favourite. Needs the ground. Regal Encore form last time at Ascot was a big run.
Yeah, it was a big run. I mean, it's one of those horses that's a little bit on the clumsy side. Can belt one. Haydock's fences are stiffer now than we remember that a few years ago. They had when you could just walk through them. You can't do that anymore. Yeah. So I just wonder whether that'll suit.
Yeah, because of course that was about the Betfair. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Nicky Henderson came out, do you remember? Absolutely. There was a big.
Yeah, they made them too hard. They were too soft, and then we're getting loads of criticism.
That's right. Okay, so a selection. Let's go for it. Red Indians.
Red Indian, yeah.
Red Indians all the way. JJ, you like winning this?
I like Midnight Tune. She ran well at Exeter last time. She's stepping up to 3 mile, just over 3 miles, so I think it's going to suit her. She's not overly exposed over fences. But I think, yeah, I think stepping up in trips, that's going to see. And that's, like I said, the last two runs she's had, she's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, she ticks a lot of boxes. I like Geronimo of Sandy Thompson. There's a link, isn't there? Red Indians and Geronimo.
Here on What a Shout, every week we like our big call. And this week we've got Bruce Millington giving his big call.
Right, I've been looking at this champion hurdle market all winter and it's finally dawned on me. If Honeysuckle runs in it, she wins it. She's absolutely different class. She's progressive. She's running in the Irish Champion Hurdle in a couple of weeks, and if she wins that, I think they'll definitely go for the big one at the festival. The only thing I'm not sure about, do I back her at 10 or 11 to 1 now, or do I take the 5 to 1 non-runner no bet? Lads, what shall I do?
What do we think then, chaps? Honeysuckle, I've got to tell you, I am on. I backed her right at the start of the season. Things have gone my way. I think with Epatante certainly leading the market at the moment, I think she's probably a better horse. I think if she'd gone to Cheltenham last year, she'd have won the mares. What's not to like?
Well, he should have won the mares probably because Billy did fell. It's a difficult one because her best form is at a 2.5 mile at the moment. She might well run in the Irish Champion if she wins that. She'll have some of the best form going into the Champion Hurdle.
Could have two mares leading the market.
There's probably, you know, there's probably not many better horses in the race than she would be taking on if she took on Billy Dedeau and the mares. So you could balance it up, saying, you know, it might only be one horse that's really hard to beat, but she'll be really hard to beat.
But 11-1 at the moment, if she was to go for a bit of a monster price.
You know, I'm not a fan of this non-runner no bet. Why back a horse of 5-1 non-runner no bet? I mean, she's got to absolutely dot up to get shorter than 5-1, doesn't she? So either take your chance or sit and wait. But don't bother betting this non-runner no bet business when price is less than half. Pointless.
You have been told. Patrick, Honeysuckle, tell us about the vibe over in Ireland, about first and foremost. And Benny DeJure we can come on to as well, because we've not seen her yet, have we?
Yeah, I'd be very wary of Honeysuckle if she turned up. I mean, obviously, she looks like she's going to go to Leopardstown, and we get a crack at her there with Sharjah. I think her form of beating Bacardi's over 2.5 is probably as good a form as anything in the race. And she had the race won at 2 miles. It wasn't like she needed 2.5 miles to win it. I'd be very concerned about her. I'd be very wary of her. Benny is entered next Thursday in the Galmoy Hurdle at Thaiste's meeting. She was entered in the Hatton's Grace, and we weren't happy with her that week, so we backed off her a bit. We'll have a look at running her in the Galmoy, but we're not, you know, it worked with Kivega, we're not averse to going straight there if we have
Amazing
to.
Amazing how it happens, isn't it? Yeah. She does seem a horse that just turns up on the big day.
Yeah, so, you know, we're very happy with Dick Dowley, who looks after her. You know, last year was a bit of a kick in the guts, but at least she got up, you know, she got up and... If we can get her back there in one piece, she should be hard to beat.
Just quickly, that mare's hurdle, if they all were to turn up in that, with Apple's Jade having come back, you know, the renaissance from her pull, that could, all of a sudden, the mare's race could be one of the races of the festival.
Yeah, it could be amazingly good. I doubt they'll bother running Apple's Jade, though. She just doesn't like the place, does she?
Fair enough. Honeysuckle, I think she's sweet.
So here on Watch Out every week, we talk about the My Racing Double. So we've got Edward Stone in the 205 at Haydock in the Supreme, and also Bold Plan the 225 at Ascot in the Matchbook Holloway's Handicap Hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed Edward Stone a little bit, haven't we? I mean, I think he might struggle if he's too keen in bottomless ground. Bold Plan won't be far off favourite. I think Paul Nicholls picked Dory his favourite, but we don't know too much about him. He only ran in Britain in a Triumph Hurdle and was down the field. He did run him in a Grade 1 again in France last time out, so I still think a fair bit of him, but he fell there, so we're still none the wiser. So Bold Plan, really strong finish when he won at Haydock, beat Who Shot the Sheriff, who ran well behind Not So Sleepy time. Yeah. So it's a solid bit of form. I wouldn't rule him out at all. He's priced as he should be. Be about 11-4, I'd have thought.
So Edward Stone probably under 2-1.
Edward Stone would be more like 11-10, won't he? Only four runners and he's fab. So yeah, it'll be just one or other side of evens.
They've had a couple of losses to My Racing Double. They're bidding to come back with some solid ones. Don't forget, of course, if you want to have a bet, sign up to Racing Post for all the best offers. Okay, let's have a look at another big race then this weekend at 3:15 at Haydock, the Unibet New One Hurdle, Champion Hurdle Trial, basically. Again, just the four runners. Cornerstone Lad, he's going to be a talking point. A front runner, of course, beat Bouverdale last time we saw him. Pentland Hill's probably going to go our favourite now. Cormie Lord has come out. Durasso for Ireland, very, very interesting runner as well. And Bally Andy for Team Tristan Davis, of course, has the call over Pentland Hill's on their Cheltenham running. Will that be franked?
Truth is, don't know. Linky Henderson said he thought Pentland Hill's Travel was like the best horse in the race, but every horse tugged in that race because they went so slow. And when they quickened up, he couldn't go with them, really, and he dropped it. Yeah, he's only got beat about three lengths. It wasn't, let's not say it was a really bad run. But I don't know how much fitness comes into play when you have a sprint finish rather than a real slog.
Official ratings said that Bally Andy should be favourite ahead of him.
Of course they do. But then this is the young 5-year-old that can still come through. Now,
I'm sensing your surprise that he's running him on this ground.
Well, yeah, I backed Cormie Lord because I thought Cormie Lord actually wants bottomless ground, and it would have suited him down to the ground with Cornerstone Lad making it a real test. I would have thought that was perfect for him, but obviously they've got other ideas. Cormie Lord loves Sandown, doesn't he? So he'd probably run in the Contenders Hurdle against
that
two rivals.
Like, I think so, yeah.
Like, you know, I should have thought about that, but I've spent my money already, so never mind. For me, I think any of them can win. So personally, I'd be taking on the Fav because he's around about even money.
Yeah, I'm thinking he might go a bit shorter than that, actually. So if we were homing in on one with the Keeley Millions...
Well, that's Cornerstone Lad is virtually the outsider, and he's beaten Bouverdale. Now, I know there were excuses. I know there were excuses, but he was a long way back. He was a long way ahead of Silver Streak, so that form itself is not bad in the context of tomorrow's race.
Patrick, come on then. Cornerstone lad and Bouvardet, what went wrong there?
Couldn't. I think the boys got it wrong in behind. You know, they gave him a lot of rope, and then obviously Bouvardet finished with a big lump of wood sticking out of his legs. Wouldn't help.
So pinch of salt for him.
Wouldn't like Pentland Hill. I don't know if last year's triumph course, Bleem Gardens of Babylon. I know he beat Fakir in Aintree, but Fakir is a far superior chaser than he was a herder because of the way he jumps and obviously the allowance he's getting. For me, Durazzo, I'm on heavy ground. This horse, you know, he beat Cadmium there in the Webster Cup. He won the Galmoy, I think, in Gornash. They'd be proper heavy ground races.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Jost's horses are running out of their skin at the moment.
He had loads of options, didn't he? Could have gone chasing. I was expecting him to go back over fences, I've got to say that. So it's interesting they're coming here, isn't it?
Yeah, they took him out of the race at Christmas there because the ground was too good. So you obviously want this ground. They wouldn't have gone over here for the, you know, unless they really, you know, there'd be plenty of options at home for him as well. They could have gone back to Gorn. So I think it's a statement of intent.
I am a Pentland Hills fan, I've got to say that. JJ, have you got a steer?
No, I think, yeah, Pentland Hills, I think obviously the ground might be a little bit of a concern, but I think last time, like you said, they might have gone a little bit too slow. He's quite keen. He had a little bit of time off before that run as well, so he might have just needed it, especially being a sprint finish. So I think, yeah, Pentland Hills.
I think the track's ideal for him. So two for Durazzo.
No, I was Cornerstone Lad.
You think he'll nick it from the front?
I don't think he might nick it again. They gave him too much rope at Newcastle. They might give him too much rope again here.
Cornerstone Lad, they can absolutely love the track. So with our bookmaker hats on as well, backing a laying ball, just a quick line for the layman out there, what backing a laying is?
Well, it's quite simple. You go on a website like Betfair and you get the options to back the horse or lay the horse. And if you're backing it, you want it to win. If you're laying it, you want it to lose. And it depends on the price. If it's 3-1 to win, you've got to lay... you're backing it at 3-1, but then your bet, if you're laying it, is you're effectively betting at 3-1 on not to win.
And of course, so we could do it in running as well, can't we?
So you can do it in running, but I don't get involved in that. I get too emotional. You know what I mean?
Who so doesn't?
I rather sit back.
Especially last week with the bestie man.
I once backed a horse at 700. I got matched at 700-1 in running. I had a fiver on it, right? And it traded at evens.
What happened?
I lost a fiver. I could have traded it out. I could have laid it back, but I was going, go on. And that was it. I just lost a fiver. So no, I don't do any of that. But I would lay Pentland Hills two places, which will probably be threes on, something like that.
He's one of those that's either going to win on the bridle,
but he hasn't proven it yet, and he doesn't deserve to be the price he is. So I'll be getting stuck in against him.
Only the four runners, but what a fascinating little race.
So, guys, the biggest race of the day tomorrow is the Ascot Matchbook Clarence House Chase. Obviously, we've got the two Tingle Creek horses, Defi de Sol and Under Sol, who are battling out again. What's everyone going for now? Obviously, you're going to go for the balance.
Yeah, I think Under Sol, I'm really, really quite strong on Under Sol turning the form around. Like I said, a lot of ours are improving with our first run. Now, Under Sol has hardened himself at home, so maybe he was doing a little more than others. But he was coming back at Defi at the finish, and Defi had already had a run. So I think we have, as strange as it sounds, as a 12-year-old, we have more scope for improvement from that race.
You've got the Ascot form, of course, he won it last year. Will your tactics be different? You're just going to bang out. He loves the heavy ground, doesn't he?
He does, but you know, he's not a horse, he gets to a speed, his cruising speed, and he goes on. So if someone's going faster, that's fine.
Sparrowdeck did last year, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to make the running, but he's a professional racehorse. He knows the aim of the game. He knows, how to do it. So we won't be hanging around. I think it'll be heavier ground than it was in Sandown. I think that'll suit him. You know, and we're probably not keeping one eye on Cheltenham, so we can be giving it 110%, whereas Defi de Sol on really heavy ground might just be, you know, have half an eye on Cheltenham, might not want a real hard race. I'm really quite confident that we can turn the form around.
Very confident from Patrick. If you're a Shaq and Poussoir fan, of course, out there, it's fascinating, this race, isn't it? Because you're thinking, come on, get Defi right at it. The lack of Ascot form for Defi as well is interesting, Paul.
You can't say one run is evidence of not being able to handle a track, can you? And he's obviously in miles better form now than
he was in terrible form. The yard wasn't right.
I wouldn't worry about that at all. But the one thing to worry about is Under Sol. He's going to get, you know, he got, you know, I wouldn't say he got hassled by Ornura because he sort of let Ornura get on, but you know, they probably went hard enough. If you take on Under Sol, you get beat. Ornu was last in the Tingle Creek. Under Sol just stayed there. If he gets to make his own running and quicken it up when he wants to, he's going to be extremely hard to pass, especially on bottomless ground. I mean, he's virtually unbeatable when the ground's heavy, wasn't he? You know, throughout his career.
Remarkable.
Horses don't go through ground like he does, and I can't imagine that Defi will. It'll be sticky as hell tomorrow. They're making him favourite. Another 50 yards, it'd have been Under Sol would have been in front of the Tingle Creek. on this ground, heavy ground, I make him fav.
Yeah, same. I must say that. Devi de Soy is a fantastic horse, isn't he? I love these horses that start in the Triumph Hurdle and they can just continue with their careers and coming back from that injury as well. There are other runners, of course, we should mention Janica, Capeland, who likes Ascot very much indeed, and of course Maracuja, who will be the big outsider. So let's get a selection now. Let's wrap it up, chaps. I'm sensing a lot of love for Underso here. I'm in that camp. Patrick, we know who you are.
Yeah, big Underso fan.
Jet?
Underso, yeah.
Underso all the way. You can follow up. Right then, certain racing on Sunday that we need to be talking about because we've got Patrick in the studio. Patrick, big bumper time at the moment, isn't it? You've had some decent bumper winners. This week in particular, you rode one the other day at Fairy House for Ronnie Bartlett. He looked a very nice horse to me.
Statler, big old-fashioned stowaway horse, loves the heavy ground. Doesn't do things in a hurry, not particularly quick, but I think they'll have a lot of fun with him. Staying chasing.
Would he be in the mix for the biggie at Cheltenham?
He'd have to be in the mix. And the great thing about him is he's very laid back, very chilled out, which is a huge advantage in that race. You know, I've ridden some horses, the likes of Sicilian Secret, Day of a Lifetime. Before they got to the start, their head was fried. I wonder, would he have the gears for it? But he definitely has the ability to go there.
That's interesting. We've got to talk about the mare as well. At Market Raisin, the first ever runner at Market Raisin. And Paul Tannen going over. The market couldn't have it, Paul, and it absolutely hosed up.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the only thing you say is I don't know how strong the British horses were. The runner-up had been beaten 60-odd lengths in an Irish-listed race, isn't it? And,
ran too bad that day. Obviously
ran too bad, but she was given like £13. But she's going to get all those weight allowances. Been a couple of four-year-old winners at a bump with Dato Star and Q Card. And I think the fireman as a mare was second in the race twice, so it's possible. Molly the Dolly won one.
Fiona and Relegator won it as a mare.
Yeah, of course. So it's unusual because you've got eight goals.
But it's an interesting mix. A four-year-old mare, you're going to be getting a lot of weight. You're getting more than a stone. It's about a stone off most of the horses.
Will the owners be mad keen to go to Cheltenham?
I don't know. I mean, the plan when he originally came was to find the listed mares from Bursa. She actually went over to Cheltenham on New Year's Eve for New Year's Day and she got balloted out. She had to come home. So this was the plan. And imagine now, why not Cheltenham? But there is a great program in the spring. You can go to Aintree Fairy House, Punchdown, for listed races.
Just a quick line on the two bumper horses that you ride this week. Power and Pause is obviously one of them, isn't he?
Power and Pause is a horse I like a lot. He's got a few gears. A little concerned about heavy ground. When he won his point-to-point at Punchdown, it was good ground. If the ground catches him out, when the ground dries up, he'll win his bumper, no problem. And Don't Tell Annan is a brother to Next Destination. You know, he's not flashy at home, but Next Destination wasn't either. He wouldn't have done any. You know, some horses at home, they're not, don't catch your eye. But on the track, they're better. But he looks like a horse that'll need a trip in time.
We've also got the Kinloch Bray on Sunday, and all eyes on Footpad and how he'll come out of that grueling race. Let's go to you, Paul, on foot.
Yeah, it was grueling. He finished very, very tired. I think it's quite plain that he didn't stay. He'd only been trying over 3 mile a few times over hurdles. I just don't think he stays. They finished very slowly. But, I mean, if he's recovered from it, he's definitely the one to beat.
You've got Real Steel in there as well, Patrick?
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually competitive. I mean, you've got Real Steel, Void of Rev, two. There's not much between those two. And they run very close together in the John Durkin. Real Steel has to go right-handed, so that's, you know, his options are a bit limited. Void of Rev ran below par at Tremore on New Year's Day, so come back quick, but his work since has been fine. There's not a lot to split them. And Hardline as well. I mean, it's a cracking race, very competitive. It's a proper grade two.
That could be an interesting betting race then, couldn't it, with Footpad looking sure to go off heart favourite. How would he come out of that race? We've got to talk about next Thursday as well, Patrick, your local meeting, the Thiestes Chase. Invitation only last year, a massive gamble was pulled off. Jack Adam, remember, he won it as a five-year-old, broke all sorts of records under top weight, then went to the Gold Cup, of course. This year, you've got a scattergun entry. We're thinking that Chef Tezobo might be the leading hope?
Yeah, he ran a cracker at Christmas in the Paddy Power Chase, jumped out to his right a bit everywhere. Another horse that improved significantly from his first run to his second run. He's second season novice, he's unexposed. He showed he had the cruising speed to be able to get to the front and jump well in those chases. He did make a bad mistake the third last, which wasn't ideal. That's a critical part of a race in the chase around there. So ditch, you turn, he's that race in the second last. He seems to come out of it well. Again, his mark is about 150. You know, I think Jack Adam was maybe 145 and on his own was 142. But Ruby keeps saying these marks are going up and up and up. And looking at the race, he won't have to give more than a little over a stone to most of the horses. So he has to have a huge chance.
Will you be riding one of it?
I'd love to. At the moment, a lot of the weights are too light. I was hoping that maybe get on Chef Tezobo, but I think Paul maybe has his eye on him. So we'll have to wait and see.
Chef Tezobo has stirred it up. Right then, it's the time we've all been waiting for. It's nap time. And of course, we've got to go back 7 days in time. Eric LaRouge tends into 72. Tick! Mossy Fenn, 11-2 into 7-2. Tick to Bestie Man. What happened there? Absolutely pulling down 16-1. What would he have touched in running? Came down at last, of course.
3-1 on him running.
Oh, man, could you imagine what Mr. Keeley would have looked like as that was coming to the last? Paul, so you can lead the way. You have top honours. Give us your nap for this.
Right, we're going to go 3 o'clock, Ascot. Alison Montag making a reappearance after the best part of a year off. He actually went up a pound for finishing fourth to Frodon. In the Cotswold Chase last year. He was beaten a fair way in the end, but he was the only one to serve it up to Frodon for a long way. He got beaten about 18 lengths. He wants a short trip, 2.5 miles. He loves soft ground, and he's been given £4 off for his absence. I think he's got a massive chance at a double-figure price. Loves the slop as well, yeah.
Patrick, now you were off air. He was trying to put up under so, which we weren't having that at all. So Patrick, and you've got a big curveball.
I mean, I think this is kind of like back in Hurricane Fly in a maiden hurdle. Trained by Q Tarantino, ridden by Mr. El DiCaprio 7. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for Best Picture at the Oscars is stealing money.
People scrambling around the odds checkers to find the market. Never mind. JJ, okay. Once Upon a Time, the Oscars, everyone. JJ.
I'm going for Midnight Tune in the Peter Marsh at Haydock. 5-1 she is now. She's stepping up in trip from her Exeter run. She's got good form this year. I think her Exeter run, she's stepping back up in trip, which is going to suit her. And I think, at 5-1, it's a really good price.
Midnight Tune, JJ going for a double. Bold plan, I like. 2.25 in the matchbook hurdle. A big handicap. Oh, well, 8 runners now. You know one's going to come out as well. But bold plan, he can see off the Nichols horse.
So here on What a Shout, we always like to end it with a big call, something you fancy or something you'd like to change in horse racing. So I'm going to start it off with asking the question to you, Pat. So last week we had Wayne Hutchinson in the building and he mentioned about jockeys having a day off every Sunday because he thinks there's too much racing. It's nice, obviously, spend time with the family, etc. I also had a look into it as well in terms of the stable staff as well, which obviously they do so much behind the scenes in horse racing. They're getting a lot more recognition now in horse racing, which is a great thing. Trainers do treat them absolutely brilliantly and they love their job. But do you think there could be a sort of thing where they have out of season every other evening off? Do you think that could be a thing?
There's definitely things that have to be looked into. I mean, at the moment it's kind of 12 and a half days on, a day and a half off. We've brought in even a half day every second week as well as that. Myself and Ruby were talking last week about, could you do kind of shift work? Could you do 6 days on, 2 days off? You'd need to probably have an extra 10% of staff in order to make it work. But
exactly,
yeah. And your idea is interesting as well. But I think it's an industry that we need to look at different ways of doing it, and how we can improve it, because it's kind of been that way for so long, and the world is changing.
Obviously, horses need to be cared for as well. But I know Jeremy Nasida, for example, he had a really good strategy with every other night throughout the year, to be honest. He kind of, every other night, the stable lasses would have that evening off. Do you know what I mean? Which obviously get them refreshed, kids spend time with the family. Obviously, I'm not saying
how many staff you got, how many horses you got, and whether you can cover that, isn't it?
I think the garbles are listening to that. I mean, happy days if you are. Okay, that's an interesting big call then. Paul, let's
really basic, solid one, really. I just think Kimberlite Candy will go very close in the Grand National.
You were toying up with Napping him last week.
If not, yes, yeah. If not, win it. Obviously, we know Tiger Roll is going to go, may well go there for a third time, but he might not. He's obviously a very good horse, but he's going to be carrying top weight. He's been given a fair amount of weight to Kimberlite Candy, who was second in a Beecher Chase. He looks like it. The further he goes, the better he is. I mean, he jumped the last, just taking it up, stormed away to win by 10, 11 lengths on Saturday. And he's 20-1. I think that's a massive price.
One for Arthur Root, of course, in 2017.
Yeah, exactly. He was only beaten 3 lengths in the Beecher, came out, won that race by a similar margin, and then bolted up at Aintree.
Okay, talking about JP McManus horses, Champagne Platinum, I think he's one we've got to keep our eyes firmly on. I think I'm on a plot here, lads. They've run him in 2 races over fences so far. Let's forget that he was on the periphery, wasn't he, of running in the Supreme, an expensive Irish pointer. They've run him in 2 races with Henderson Hot Pots. They've had him out the back over 2 miles every time. His jumping has looked scratchy. I guarantee you next time they go up in trip, I guarantee you he wins. I guarantee you gets a mark of under 140. And I guarantee you he wins a Close Brothers handicap.
I've got one to beat him. Imperial Aura.
Of course you have. Look, like that's absolutely raining on my parade. I could have gone harder on De Bestie Man, All right, okay, Patrick, let's end up with you.
My one is a little left of field. I think the way, talking about the industry leading to come out of old fashioned practices, the way we do novices. Celius Emery being the example, he won his beginner's chase and then got injured. And then this year he had to come back and run against open company straight away, despite only having one run of offences. I think doing it from a time period only is a little backward. And I think every horse should be guaranteed 3 runs in novice races, regardless of the time period. Now, you could have a horse like Shacham Marsois who wins a grade 1 in a second start, and you could maybe take him out of it. But I do think every horse should have 3 runs in a novice race before having to take on open company.
They've got to have it to qualify for the grade A handicaps as well, Champagne Plats.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't argue with that. I certainly wouldn't argue with that. I mean, you know, once you've won one race, I mean, you are effectively a novice. You've only won once over fences. Mm. Simple as that.
Racing administrators, there are your heavyweight calls.
Well, that's it for the 5th edition of What A Shout. Remember to keep getting your comments below or on Twitter with the hashtag What A Shout.
It's been an absolute belter. Patrick, thank you very much for coming over. It's been a real insight. Kills, you're back next week. Yep. Myself and JJ will be in the seat as well. We'll be looking forward to Cheltenham Trials Day. Peter Scudamore will be joining us. Don't forget, of course, to download your free Racing Post app on the App Store and the Play Store. Mm-hmm.